When he was just 17, Jerry Ellis left home for the first time to hitchhike from Fort Payne in Alabama to see his sister living on Staten Island in New York City. His adventures on that trip, and the many more he took hitchhiking back and forth across the country, are the foundation for his latest book, Two Wolves, A Cherokee's Journey to Feed the Sacred One. In the book, he weaves together Cherokee lore with his own tales of self-discovery.
The first part is 85 pages with some historical photographs. It focuses on my awakening to the road, speaking about writing about things I'm doing. My hitchhiking trip to New York was a phenomenal awakening to there was something beyond my little mountain town. I first got a ride, walked through the woods over to the interstate in Fort Payne, and my folks had gone, it was running away. Anyway, I had a sign saying New York, and a guy pulled over within 30 minutes. I couldn't believe it. He had New York tags. He was going all the way to Buffalo, New York. He was from Gadsden. He'd been home to visit his mother. I rode with him, helped him drive. First thing he said was, you're not running away from home, are you? And I said, oh no.
Because you were so young.
Of course I lied. I said, oh no. I tried to back it up. And I said, I just graduated from high school, and it's a gift to myself. I'm going up to see my sister who lives in New York. But I got let out on basically by the Niagara Falls. I mean, at Buffalo. I mean, they were a few miles away. And even though it was summertime, it was incredibly chilly. And though I'd gotten that ride up there, it was very cold, and I was yet 400 miles. I didn't realize I had to go back south to New York City, right?
Yeah, right? How'd you end up in Buffalo?
Yeah, that's where he was going. That's where he was going, so I thought, it's New York.
So he bypassed the city?
Yeah, he took another route up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he didn't go anywhere in New York City.
Oh, go ahead.
And he was traveling through the night, and I was driving for him. He would drive, and he was a good guy. He was a teacher, and
he caught a ride from Buffalo back down to New York City and found his sister, who gave him a place to stay. He'd taken some time off from a job he had in Fort Payne, so he couldn't stay long, but he was determined to make the most of his first trip to the big city. He was a big fan of bodybuilding. He'd been working out in a local gym for several years, and so when he got to New York City, one of his goals was to visit the gym of a noted bodybuilder at the time, a man called Sid Klein.
And as soon as I opened the door, I'll be damned, he was there, had his shirt off, and he was doing a muscle control act, rolling his abdomen, flexing his biceps, twisting and turning way beyond the standard. I mean, he was a professional at it. I was absolutely mind blown. Here he is. He's leaping out of the magazine. You know, it's the real guy, and I'm a 17-year-old kid from good old Alabama, and made eye contact with me. He liked me, and after he finished his muscle control act for some guys in the gym, after he was showing off, and he says, I'm from Alabama. He says, you've been working out. He says, yeah, come on in the office with me. He says, I'm about to have some lunch. Let's talk. You know, I don't know anybody from Alabama. So I went in there, and he had a hoagie, submarine, he offered to share it with me, and then when he finished, we were talking about weightlifting and what a unique cult it was and everything. And he lit up a cigar. It's like I'd stepped into a whole new arena. It was.
What was your first reaction? What did it feel like?
Whoa! Where am I? What happened?
It must have felt like dropping onto a different planet.
It was. It was. But I. To see the Empire State Building and all the other skyscrapers. And to hear all these on the streets, to see all these human faces that were different, and hear all these different languages, to me it was the ultimate shot of adrenaline and curiosity. And there was some fear too, because I'm 17 and I'm just starting to learn about life. I mean, when you're on the subway and you meet someone kind of gently rubbing up against you as the train goes back and forth, and you realize it's a drag queen, and you're from Alabama, you go, I ain't back in the woods anymore. But I all the smells coming from the cafes and the restaurants.
For the 17-year-old boy from Fort Payne, New York City in the mid-1960s was magical and exotic. He stayed for a couple of weeks, taking in as much of the city and the people as he could before heading back to the New Jersey Turnpike to catch a ride back home. He caught a ride from a couple of bodybuilding enthusiasts for the first part of the journey, but then, as so often happens hitchhiking, he got stuck. No rides. Until an ancient station wagon, driven by five Hell's Angels, stopped.
And you can kind of hear it like an old washing machine knocking. And I mean, there was some smoke coming from the hood and all that. And first of all, I was hesitant to get in with them. There were five of them. And they had on their jeans and their colors and the skulls and all that. But one of them had a very big, these guys are like in the early 20s. The one was 19. And he had his jacket was open and he had a very big belly, kind of like Santa Claus. And so this is before tattoos had become quite the chic end thing, you know. And he had a huge sword tattooed down his gut with blood dripping from it. I do get in and we take off.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Because that must have given you pause.
You're
still a kid, right? And there's this guy who looks...
It both... Yeah, it was frightening, but it also was exciting. Remember, I'm 17, so I've got a lot of hormones going, and I feel like I'm kind of a tough guy. Whereas I was kind of frightened. And we're traveling on, and the big guy with the tattoo, after we've been traveling for several miles, he lights a firecracker and sticks it under the seat, without the guy knowing, of the driver, for real. And when it goes off, you can imagine the driver, kind of a jack-in-the-box, what the...
Were they as intimidating once you've been around them a little while, or did they just... Was that mostly just a front?
No, they were not as intimidating. Right. No. The humanness started coming out in them, yeah, for sure.
And they're just guys.
Well, they were... Yeah, they were just guys, but then they were living... At least in their fantasy, they were starting to live the outlaw life, if you want to call it. You know, I didn't feel like they were murderers or anything. I mean,
so you're in two worlds.
In what sense do you mean?
Well, in the one sense that you have the Cherokee tradition and that's your heritage.
Yes.
And then on the other hand, you're out there on the road and you're by yourself and
yeah,
that's a world
you're creating
for yourself.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. And that's relating to the title, Which Wolf Do You Feed? Not meaning that one is necessarily
right
night or day, but it's woven throughout because ironically, the very hometown I would run away from to hitchhike to New York. I mean, I would not only come back home with all those hitchhiking trips, but ultimately would walk from Oklahoma to Alabama and in honor of homes that had been taken from the majority of the Cherokee on the Trail of Tears. And so, as you get older and maybe a little smarter and have more experiences, you begin to see what's what, as they say, what really matters. So the irony and all that literary stuff of running away from home, and now it means so much to me, I'll walk 900 miles to get back to it, you know.
The book is called Two Wolves, A Cherokee's Journey to Feed the Sacred One. It's available through Amazon on Kindle. Every year, Jerry Ellis also offers an all-day writing and publishing seminar in his home in Fort Payne, Alabama. Deadline for registration this year is March 20th. You can reach Jerry Ellis for more information at 256-996-4764. Again, that's 256-996-4764. For WUTC's Around and About, I'm Richard Winham.